Indeed, it is a pleasure to be among you today, especially this Christmas Eve, that we may celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is. Where would we be without Jesus? We wouldn't have much, would we? Wouldn't know anything about love, would we? It's such a magnificent thing that we have a wonderful God and a Savior that came and gave His life to the Father, that we may have an audience with God Almighty, the Creator of all things. I visited a little bit with Brother Gary. I'm so sad that he is sick at this time. I know he would love to be with you, but he doesn't want to afflict anyone with his sickness, and we need to pray for him. He's a wonderful man. I have grown to love him very much. And Sister Sharon, that she might get through her ailments. It's a wonderful thing that we were able to. We just had a trip to New Mexico where our oldest son just got his doctorate. And we got to go out in commencement with him for a week, and we got back, and we were thinking about coming to visit with you anyway. Brother Gary called. I always am humbled to come before the children of God, try to proclaim the gospel. But it's wonderful to be here with you. It's a wonderful time of year. You know, I was at the store the other day, and there was a young lady ran up to me and says, "You look just like a modern-day Santa Claus." And I didn't know whether to smile. I'd rather she said, "Well, you look like Robert Redford." Or... But the more I thought about that, I thought, you know, people are happy when they think of Santa Claus, like the spirit of Christmas. So I guess that's okay that she thought I looked like Santa Claus. Because it reminds me of the spirit of Christmas. Reminds me of the reason for the season. And that's a birth of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to begin over in the 14th chapter of 2 Samuel. Where David was having such a heartfelt sorrow because of Absalom, his son, who had tried to take over the kingdom. And he banished him. And in the first verse of the 14th chapter of 2 Samuel, it says, "Now Joab, the son of Zerah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. He was very, very distraught about his son because he had banished him. And so Joab called a wise woman from Tekoa. And what she said is very, very interesting. She said in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter, she says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any persons, yet doth He devise means that His banish be not expelled from Him." Now, isn't that a wonderful picture of what God devised means that we being dead in trespass and sin to God, that He devised means by His Son, Jesus Christ, coming as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, over in Isaiah, we hear the Son of God discussing with God. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in the 8th verse, it says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord." And this is the prophet Isaiah, by God's inspiration, giving him words about this devised means of our salvation. And he says, saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And you hear the Son of God. "Then said I, here I am, send me." That's our Jesus Christ, knowing full well of what he was going to go through. He was there to go as a sacrifice, as an atonement for our sins. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Then he gets over in the 14th verse of the 6th chapter of Isaiah, and he says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." What a sign he is, Jesus Christ. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That is God be with us. Isn't that a precious thing that God, in his infinite knowledge, inspired our Isaiah to tell us about this birth some 730 years before Christ was even born? It's a wonderful thing that God has laid it all out for us. We have it that we can read and understand all about the story of Jesus. Over in the 8th chapter of Isaiah, it says, and this is another prophecy of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. In the 6th verse of the 9th chapter, it says, "For unto a child is born." We're talking about Jesus Christ here, the birth of Jesus Christ, 700 and some years before he was even born. "Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isn't that wonderful? The Prince of Peace. He says, "On the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." There is no end to God and his word, and Jesus and the triune God. "Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom." We're talking about his kingdom, which is here and now in this time world. Not only that everlasting kingdom, which he had promised to us because of what Jesus Christ did, but right now, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, not heaven, kingdom of heaven. That's what we enter into here and now. He says, "Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever forever." Isn't that precious? That we have this kingdom of heaven that begins here on this earth and is forever, is eternity. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That is the devised means that the wise woman of Tekoa was telling David. Not only about Absalom, his son, but as a picture of God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. He has devised means, a way for you and I who are dead in trespass and sin, from the Garden of Eden, from the first Adam, and yet there comes the second Adam, Jesus, born Savior to the world. Isn't that amazing sometimes when you think about that? This is God incarnate that walked this life. Let's go to Matthew. I love the way that these scriptures are laid out for us for our knowledge. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says in the first chapter of Matthew, what an appropriate time that we think about the birth of Jesus. That's what this is all about. All of the celebration throughout the world. The birth of Jesus Christ. 17th verse of the first chapter of Matthew. So all the generations from Abraham, we start with Abraham, the father of our faith, to David are 14 generations. And from David into the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon into Christ are 14 generations. God doesn't get in a hurry, does He? I mean, it is infinite time. Think about time. We think about it all the time. In eternity, there is no time. It's an everlasting present. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has given us these insights into what is real? And it's not keenly devised fables, my brothers and sisters. This is the truth of God, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of God will make you free. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This immaculate conception is something that we can't even understand. But it is God's Word that makes it visible to us. We believe it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. He says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. An angel of the Lord. Have you ever been visited from an angel of the Lord? I think I have from time to time. There are amazing things that happen in our lives. And we go, oh no, that's just happenstance. That's just coincidence. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe in coincidence. We have a Father above that works things. He has a purpose. He has His purpose in mind. He has a purpose for you. You have a reason. And Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is our reason. That's who we follow. It says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. You see the lineage here. Thou son of David. Throughout the 14 generations and the 14 generations and the 14 generations from Abraham, the father of our faith. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The almighty presence of God, the Holy Spirit that you feel from time to time when you are in the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. It's not by observation. It's not low here and low there. But it's within you. God is a spirit. No one has seen God at any time. But you feel Him, don't you? You know He's alive. You know that He directs your steps from time to time. When you trust Him with all your heart, and He will direct your steps. Incline not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. It's a whole different life. You get it's just a little bit step higher than going down to Walmart and buying gifts for somebody. I mean, it is something that's within you. You know that God works in you. It's such a precious thing. What would we do without Jesus? I can't even think or imagine. We would be dead and buried in our sins. I have been such a sinful man in my life. We all have. But God has taken your sins and taken them as far as the east is to the west from you. He forgets your sins. He says, I will remember them no more. Thank you, God. Praise heaven. I don't want to wallow in my sins and be dead in them. But it's because of Jesus Christ that we are all have become new. We are one in Him. How precious is that? We should be so very thankful each and every minute that we think, each and every breath that we take, because we are His. We're a purchased possession. God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Starts right here, brothers and sisters. That is the kingdom of heaven. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, is what Jesus means. Jehovah is my strength and song, is what Isaiah says. He is everything to us. Behold, God is my salvation. He has also become my salvation when we realize that He is our salvation. That's a timely salvation right there, brothers and sisters. There are two aspects to salvation. One an eternal salvation and one a timely salvation. There's no S on salvation throughout the Scriptures. But there is two aspects that we can understand that right now we can live and we can walk and in Him we have our being, that we can show forth the praises unto our Lord and Savior as we walk in this life. It's a precious thing. We should be so thankful now, this minute, this day, this hour, from now on, this one thing I do, what the Apostle Paul says. This one thing I do. You want to hear something from Apostle Paul saying the one thing I do? He says, never looking behind, forgetting those things which are behind, and looking forward to press toward that high mark of the calling of Jesus Christ. That's what we do right now. We don't think upon our sins. They're gone. They're history. We think about what we can do in this time world for Jesus. We have a reason. There is a reason for the season, brothers and sisters. It makes your life complete. You have a purpose. You have a will. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's in there. You know He's there, don't you? You feel Him. Of course you know He's there. Work out your own salvation, He says, with fear and trembling. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us. With fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, I was thinking one time, I thought, you know, I am so tired of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. We're talking about sin. And the thought came to me, who is that's telling me that he doesn't want to do it anymore? Who is that? Is that me? It's God in me. I thought, praise the Lord. Yeah, we're twofold beings, aren't we? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We are a twofold creature. We are of God, and as we walk in this life, if we can keep that old flesh, and I'm not talking about this, it's all about the body. The body's going to be resurrected again, likened unto Him. But the flesh, our old nature, our nature of filth and sin, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's such a wonderful thing that we have that difference between the flesh and the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Think of the cross. Completely opposite. Yes, it is. We have a direct communication with God above because of what Jesus Christ did. You can get in your closet and you can close your eyes and you can bring your family together. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you and pray and have an audience to God above. Are we not blessed? Do you feel it? Do you know it? Of course you do. Of course you do. But of course, you're like me, which I think you are. We try to hide it. We go on about our business. We think we're in control. Yeah, we're in charge. I've got to do all these things so that I can eat and dress up and do things for me. That's not what He teaches us, brothers and sisters. At all. We put Him first, and all these things will be added to you. The story of Jesus is a wonderful story. It's something we should think about each and every day of our lives. Not just Christmas Eve and Christmas. No one knows exactly when Jesus was born. That's of Him to know. Not us, or we would have known, or it would have told us. Think of this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Did we not just read that from Isaiah 730 years before Christ was born? Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's Jesus. He sits on the right hand of God today. He left the Comforter,
for us. The Holy Ghost. That's what fills your heart with ecstasy when you're thinking on the right things. When you are experiencing righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's real. It's as real as anything as this standing right here. In fact, it's more so because it is forever. This will crumble and fall. His Word will last forever. We have an eternity with God above because of what Jesus Christ did. Oh, how I love Jesus. We get to thinking about those songs that we sing. It lifts us up. We are so indebted. We're a purchased possession to Him. Not that we want, that we can do anything good, but it makes you want to walk in a way worthy of such a magnificent God above that created you in your mother's womb. It's a wonderful thing. The days go by so much better. You walk so much higher. You have such a purpose in life, following Jesus Christ. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him for his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That is, Jehovah is salvation. Remember Jesus, the name of Jesus, at all times. Keep him close to you. Get the old sinful Adam behind you in subjection to the Spirit. Pray to God above that He will lift you up. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What it says, what the Apostle Paul says. Let it. That means there's something we got to do. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We can't make it happen. We got to let it happen. Give it over to Him. You have any problems, turn it over to Him. That's in the worst sickness that there is. Turn it over to Him. He knows what's best. He knows the hairs of your head, I read. He knows everything about you. He has a reason for you. You have a purpose. You are no longer just a wandering generality in this life. You are a meaningful specific. You have a reason to walk. You have a reason to live. Such a poor sinner as I, to have such a magnificent one that loves me. Sometimes I just can't believe it. I get to pray into God. Thank you, God, for being God, my God. Thank you for the things that you have shown me through your Word. Thank you for the love that I have between my brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We are so blessed. Be ye thankful in all things, by prayer and supplication. Be careful for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. And be ye thankful. Thankful. Isn't that a better feeling to walk in life and say, I have all these things that God has given me. It's not the things that we don't have. There goes the flesh again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Oh, I don't have this. Oh, I need this. Oh, I'm not going to make it. It's not going to work. And the Spirit says, you are given all things through Jesus Christ, who loves you. It's a precious, precious thing.
precious thing. We get to talking about that. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. That's here. Right here, right now. You know, in Ephesians letter it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Think about that. Is that not where we are right now? In heavenly places. In Christ. It's a wonderful thing. Romans 14 chapter 17th verse. "For the kingdom of God," put this on a piece of paper, wrap it up, stick it in your pocket, and remember, the kingdom of God is with you. Jesus Christ, when he began to minister, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It's here. It's not something we're waiting for. It's not when we die. It's now. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's now, brothers and sisters, for he that is in these things serveth Christ. So you are serving Christ when you are in the kingdom of God. Don't ever forget that. Serve Jesus Christ. "For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God, and approved a man. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another." Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Over in the 15th chapter of John, he says, "My peace I give unto you." That's where your peace comes from. You're looking for peace? Get close to Jesus Christ. "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you." That's what he says. I'm just reading scriptures to you. That's what he tells us. "You draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you." How precious. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify another." It's all about the edification of one another. It's not all about me anymore. I never will forget that. When my father in the ministry, I went to him and I says, "You know, Brother Tim, I said, I'm about to figure out it's not all about me." And he looked at me and smiled. And he says, "You know, that's good." He says, "But if you would have said that none of it's about you, you'd been closer to the truth." And amen to that. I thought that over and over and over. Anytime it's about me, it's about the wrong thing. It's all about Him. You have something within you that makes you want to look up at Him. Not down, look up at Him. Isn't it precious? You walk a little higher. You walk a little straighter. You feel a little better. You know there is a reason for the season. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is my Savior. It's wonderful. It's precious. It's everything for us. Let's look one more place. St. Luke, 17th chapter, 20th verse. We need to understand that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Like Jesus said, it applies
as it did 2,000 years ago when he walked and was ministering to his children. It applies as much now as it ever did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 20th verse, 17th chapter. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, we're not waiting, brothers and sisters. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not with observation. You can't see it. It's not something we're waiting for, that he comes back down and reigns for 1,000 years. We are to look that he comes to take us, but we're talking about the kingdom that he set up. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a precious thing when you feel the Spirit of Almighty God in this life. You know, we think we can snap our fingers and go to church, and all of a sudden He blesses us with His Spirit. You've got to be of a contrite heart. It's not something you come to God and snap your fingers at Him. He is a loving Father. He demands you respect Him. We must fear the Lord. I've got to get back into Isaiah just a little bit, and I'll finish up. 40th chapter. Just to give us ideas in our mind how wonderful a God we have. How magnificent a God we have. How omniscient He is. Lift up, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Is anyone equal to God? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things. Just look around. He created all things. That's our Jesus Christ. All things were created by Him and for Him, is what it tells us in the Scriptures. That's Jesus. Before the foundation of the world. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How precious. You are standing, and God sees you without sin, because He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power, not one faileth. He knows each and every one of us intimately. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my ways is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of Him, of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. When you feel down, God can give you power that you faint not. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. When you realize and you know you have no might, He strengthens you. Even the youth shall faint and be weary,
and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. And know that I am God, he says. Wait and know that I am God. Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Talk about bringing you out of the valley to where you're soaring in life. Think about this, brothers and sisters. God is able. All because of what Jesus Christ did for us. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You get to feeling down. Start looking towards Him. And all things are become new. All things are become new. 10th verse of the 41st chapter. He says, another one of those things you write down, stick in your pocket. Your pocket's going to be so full, you don't know what to do. You start writing these scriptures down, remembering them, going over them, thinking about them. Fear thou not. There is no fear in love, is what 1 John says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is the God of all creation, brothers and sisters. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It all comes from Jesus. God bless you and Merry Christmas to you. Let us walk this walk the way that we should, glorifying our King. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the Christ, Jesus. Thank you for your time. I love each and every one of you. And let the charity of God run through you to one another. Bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your good attention.